Well, again, happy Father's Day. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to the book of Mark. Y'all thought I was going to say James, didn't you? Turn to the book of Mark. We're going to take a little break from James today, our study, and we're going to focus. God had laid this passage on my heart several weeks ago as I was already starting to think ahead about Father's Day and what to preach and what to talk about. That's where we're going to be. Before we get into the Word, while you were looking up the Scripture, while you're getting there in your Bibles, I just want to tell everybody thank you that came out yesterday and put in all the work. A lot of people have been here all week working behind the scenes. And so if you see somebody who's taken part in some of all the work that's been going on next door or around the property or whatever, make sure you encourage them and tell them thank you. It makes me think of Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. I mean, even sometimes we don't like what somebody else is doing, we can still find a reason to encourage them about it, the work that they're doing, because God had laid it on their heart. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 says, "Do to others what you would like done to yourself." So how would you want them to treat you? And so just think about the words that we speak, and let's encourage one another, because God is doing great things here. Amen? And so I'm excited about it, and I'm excited. To name one of the things that I wanted to announce too. Thank you for everybody who has brought in Bibles for Liberia. These are being shipped over to go on a missions trip to Liberia, and we've raised well over 100 Bibles and collected old Bibles and brought them in. So they'll be shipped over, waiting on the missionaries when they get there. So can we give the Lord praise for that? One more thing, and we're going to get into the Word. Yard sale. We have a yard sale to get rid of some of the stuff that we've accumulated over the years. And if you have anything that you want to donate to the yard sale, it'll be on the 22nd. Make sure you bring it to the church this week. Where's Corbin? He's going to give you a little bit of information on it. But just I want to say this. Make sure you don't bring us your trash, okay? Because we have to get rid of this stuff if it doesn't sell. So bring the stuff that you think may be yard sale worthy. We're not asking you to clean out your finest, you know, china and bring it to us or anything like that. But if there's something you would have donated to Goodwill or something that's still of use, make sure you bring it in. All the proceeds, we're cleaning up the church, but all the proceeds are also going to help send our team to Zimbabwe this year. So a lot of good things going on. Did you want to elaborate on the yard sale?
Just a little bit. We made some flyers. So if you have a place that you would like to put one up, please grab it. I got 20 or so, and we can always get more. There's a little handout in your bulletin. In addition to that handout, it's not printed on there, we have a soak the pastor with water balloons between 12 and 1.
Yeah.
If you want to throw water balloons at your pastor and maybe some guests or some other volunteers, please come along and do that. This church has done a wonderful job throughout meals, throughout the silent auction last week, to raise a lot of money for missions for this trip, and we'd like for this to sort of cap it off. It may not be the last thing we do, but it's the next big thing we do. You can bring stuff throughout this week. Probably better to start on Tuesday. T, our secretary, is in the office from 9 to 12, I believe. So somebody will be here Tuesday through the end of the week if you want to bring stuff. If you want to bring something and nobody's here, you're welcome to put it under the shelter out back if you're not worried about somebody taking it. If they need it that bad, then let them have it. That's the way we sort of are approaching it, okay? And like Anthony said, bring stuff that you think that people would maybe like, not your trash. Also, it's priced. We had several people come yesterday and buy things already. So if you want to buy something, go ahead and we'll do it on the honor system. Pick it up and make sure you just give somebody the money at some point in time. There's a lot of stuff in the education building already, and there's more stuff to come. Thank you, guys. And we can use volunteers that day. Come on out. Starts at 7 o'clock. Spread the word. Spread it on Facebook.
Amen.
Church, and hopefully one of us can help you out. All right?
Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you, and Lord, we praise you. And Father, we just thank you for all the good things that you're doing in this body of believers here at Fork Union Baptist Church. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. And we just, Lord, as we continue to go verse by verse through the Bible and try to relate it to our life and see what you want from us and what you want us to do, God, I just pray today, Lord, that you would continue to speak to our hearts. And God, sometimes for that to happen, we have to allow you to plow over our hearts and to soften our hearts. We have to put our flesh and our feelings aside and say, God, what do you want to say to me? So, Lord, I just pray that all of us here, Lord, today that you would speak to us. Because we know, Lord, that your word is a living word. And so, God, we just know that it's never a time that it doesn't apply in our life. And that you are not trying to show us something through your scriptures. So, Lord, that's my prayer today. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you found Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. So right here on the first page of Mark. So Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. I'm going to read that for you. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water. For they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." I love the translation. I think the NIV says, "I'll make you fishers of men." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat, repairing their net. He called them at once, and they also followed him. Leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with their hired men. As I was preparing and I was thinking about Father's Day, as I said, I was praying. I said, what do I speak about? Last year we were in Deuteronomy. Some of us still wear the wristband that say wholeheartedly committed, talking about being wholeheartedly committed to God. But this year I just kept hearing the fishers of men. I kept hearing the fishers of men. And so I kept thinking about it, and God finally told me this. He said, for someone to be a real father, to be a good dad, we first have to become a good follower of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So if I want to be a godly dad, the first step in order is I have to myself be a good follower before I can be a good leader in my home. To be a good father, I must have my priorities right. This is why we are going to look at the first disciples. We're going to look at the kind of person that God wants to use to do extraordinary things, great things with. So often as parents, especially fathers, we talked about a little bit this on Mother's Day as well, we can get so caught up in the mundane of everything. Going to work, mowing the grass, fixing the mower, fixing the car, earning extra money, working overtime, paying off the bills, that we think this is all there is to being a father. Is anybody else with me this morning? Has anybody ever felt that? You're just so busy in all the work that comes along with being a father. See, we know the Bible says that we should follow Jesus, right? But in the back of our mind, we're thinking, well, God's talking to somebody else. God wants to use other people, not me. Maybe people who know their Bible better than I do. Maybe God wants to use the dad down the road that's been a Christian and a deacon for years in his church. Or maybe we think that God wants to use somebody not quite as ordinary as me or you. Well, let me remind you this morning, Jesus used these 12 simple guys, regular working Joes, and he used them to change the world. So why preach about disciples on Father's Day? I want you to hear this, church. God gave me this week. He said, because there are certain characteristics found in a good father that God looks for in a disciple. I'm going to repeat that. There are certain characteristics found in a good father that God looks for in a disciple. Look at verse 16. This is what Mark wrote in here. He said, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. See, these men were hard-working men. They were out earning a living. They were out working for what they had. They didn't have a Triton bass boat with a 150 horsepower Evinrude on the back of it either. And I can guarantee you they didn't have a $3,000 fish finder on their boat. They had a handmade wooden boat that probably leaked a little bit. They had wooden oars that they probably carved out by hand. And they had a handmade sewn net. They weren't lazy. They weren't living the lifestyle of the rich and famous. They weren't on a pedestal somewhere. These were hardworking, regular guys. So, fathers, church, this is who Jesus calls. He calls those who are workers. Look at the numerous regular, hardworking, normal people throughout the scripture that God called and did amazing things with. I could list them all day long. I want you to focus on this one. You can look it up later. Amos chapter 7. So you go to the book of Amos and look at Amos. He says this: I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of the sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. This guy, God took a shepherd, a landscape guy, a guy that owned his own landscaping company. Right, Malcolm? And he used him to do great things. That's who God calls, regular, hardworking people. Look at King David. You can find this in 1 Samuel chapter 16. If you want to make a note, look it up later. When God sent Samuel to Bethlehem to meet Jesse and his sons, God told Samuel, don't look at their appearance. Don't be distracted by who's got the strongest muscles and who's the most handsome. He said, no, go and I'll show you who to pick. So this is who he chooses. He chooses the youngest little awkward kid that probably smelled bad, and his name was David. And he was tending to the sheep out in the field. He was busy at work. Look at Elisha. This is in 1 Kings chapter 7. Elisha was also in the fields working when God called him. Over and over, we see God calling regular, hardworking people. So if you're a father, believe me, I know, God knows, that it takes a lot of work to be a father. So right there, you've already got one of the characteristics of a disciple. You're a hard worker if you're a father here today. To be a father, it takes a lot of work. What a better person for God to use. Let's look at verse 17 and 18. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Now this part of the passage is pretty awesome. And so often we look at it and we just think, oh, they dropped their nets and they went and followed Jesus. This is the part where most of us, if we're honest, struggle with allowing God to use us. So we want God to use us, but we're not really willing to leave the net and actually follow him. This is what will keep most people from living a totally fulfilled, God-glorifying, godly life. You see, this shows that the first disciples were looking for the Messiah. They had already heard about him. They were ready. They were looking for him. This is the part that will really challenge us, because they were ready to follow Jesus. No matter what the cost was, they were ready to follow, to drop everything and to follow Jesus. They were successful fishermen. They were willing to leave their business behind in order to follow Jesus. These guys, they had a vision. They got it. They were able to see past their worldly possessions, what they wanted. They got all their flesh. They got it. They had godly vision. They wanted more than just life as usual, to simply follow Jesus. Oh, but that's asking too much, Pastor. Now, you know, this is too much. I don't know if that really still applies today. God wants us to have money, and he wants us to work hard for a living. You just said that. But I also want you to listen to what Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 14, verse 33. He says this: in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. I mean, is there any way we can get that confused this morning? Now, this sounds like I'm building you up just to cut you back down this morning. That's not the purpose. But I want you to listen to me this morning, because it's the truth. And it's not the truth because I told you that. It's the truth because it's from God's Word. Fathers, what have your children seen you give up to follow Jesus? What have my children seen me give up in my life when God called me away from it to follow him? I'm sorry this morning, but we had to go there. Don't use your children and wife that God gave you. It's wrong for me to use my children and my family and my wife as an excuse. Well, I can't serve God because I've got kids. Right now, I need to focus on my children. And he doesn't want us to move to Africa, or he doesn't want us to go do this or do that for him. We need to focus on our children. How dare us use our children, how dare us use our wife, our family, as an excuse to not follow Jesus Christ? But also, let me remind you that you're here today. So somewhere in your heart, somewhere in my heart, we came looking for the Messiah this morning. We're on the right track. Amen? We're on the right track. We're here. We're here wanting to see what God wants to tell us this morning. But will you follow when He calls? That's the question. God wants more disciples. God wants my children to be disciples. God wants your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren to be disciples. But it's up to us, especially as fathers, to lead by example. Look at verse 19. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, repairing their nets, whichever translation you have. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men and followed him. That's from the NIV. I love that because it shows he had hired men. They were successful. These guys were not only hardworking, but they were willing to follow Jesus. They left everything and followed Jesus. But we also see they had the willingness to work together. They had a sacrificial heart. Here they are, brothers, and they're working together. How many brothers, how many siblings in general do you know that would probably run a business together and work okay and still be able to get along? I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't work in my family. I know that. See, this is one of those miracles recorded in the Bible. We got siblings getting along. Two siblings getting along and working together. But seriously, think about it. This says a lot about the brothers. Not only were they working well with each other, but they were working well with their father. And they were serving their father in his business. This most likely is the result of good parenting. A good father. Zebedee must have been a good father. Parents, they must have had parents, a mother and a father, who taught them both the importance of love and helping one another. It also shows us that they had a good home life and they lived in unity with one another while they were at home. Here we see these young men following the example of their parents, who must have taught them the importance of brotherly love. This makes me think that Zebedee was a good father, who took the scripture seriously. Scripture like Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. You see, these first disciples were successful, but they were also sacrificial. They had a humble heart, and they wanted to serve. They had a successful fishing business. And it says that when they left to follow Jesus, they not only left their father, but they left the hired men. And you think about it, if their father owned the business, one day the business probably would have been theirs. And they gave it up to follow Jesus. They didn't fight about it. Scripture doesn't say they complained and said, no, we need to stay. Zebedee didn't say, don't follow him, stay with me. He was a good father. He had his priorities in check. They didn't try to talk each other out of it. They were in unity, and they both gave up their security net, literally, and follow Jesus. See, being a good father, being a godly father, takes hard work, but it also takes sacrifice. Has anybody else ever sacrificed anything for their kids? I remember working all this overtime when their kids were younger and Jenny first started staying home. I worked every day off. I would work and sit out all night long behind these work zones. You want to talk about something boring? You ever seen a police officer with their lights going and when they're paving? Literally, they're getting paid to sit there. But they pay you overtime through this grant money to slow people down and to work any wrecks that happen in the work zone. And I would sit and I would sign up for these things because I needed to provide for my family. That's called a sacrifice. And I'm not boasting. Every father here, every mother here, have they made sacrifices for their family, for their children? God calls workers. God calls those who are looking for Him and willing to follow. God calls those who want to work with others. And God calls those who have a sacrificial, a humble heart, a servant's heart. So I'll tell you this morning, if you're a father here this morning, you've already got some of the characteristics of being a great disciple for God. So I'm going to close with this. Fathers here today, do you want to be a good father? Do you want to be a good leader in your home? I think the answer across the board would be yes. Do you want to be a good leader in your home? Of course we do. Well, how well are you following Jesus? How much have you invested in Jesus and following Him? What have you given up for Him? How much time do you spend teaching your children the truth from the Holy Word of God? And let me ask you this. What are they learning about being a disciple? Not from what you tell them, but from what you do. How much are my children learning from what it costs to be a disciple, or what it means to be a disciple, by what they see their father doing, by what they see me giving up for the Lord, the sacrifices that I make? You see, God wants us to be fishers of men this morning, fathers. Not fishers of wealth, not fishers of treasures on earth. But we can't be effective workers for God, and our children won't be, they also won't be effective. Most likely, our children will not be effective workers for God if we are not effective workers for God. If we don't commit our lives to Jesus, we can't expect our children to. If they don't see me investing in my relationship with Jesus Christ, if I never spend time with God, they never see me saying, this is Daddy's time with the Lord. This is my time. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do this. I won't be a good fisher of men, and neither will they. Actually, if they never see me sacrifice anything for God, I'm actually teaching them how not to be a disciple. And Jesus said, if you keep some of these children from me, you're like who? You're like somebody who ties a millstone around your neck and jump in a lake. Would that end well for any of us? I brought all this fishing gear up here this morning just to show you this simple illustration. This is my gear right here. John, you can come on up if you want. We're closing with this. This is my gear, and I literally pulled this fishing pole about 10 years ago out of a dumpster. Okay, and I'm not lying. I made that up. This reel came off of an old reel that I've had since high school. And it barely works. Sometimes it doesn't hang up. It gets tangled up. But this is my fishing gear. This is my tackle box that I paid $10 for at Walmart. It's filled full of a bunch of old rusty hooks and some of the stuff. It's all out of order. Everything's in the bottom. It's not invested in. And so me and my father-in-law, who's here today, I had him bring in some of his gear. Avid fisherman. We go fishing, and he's catching all the fish. Mine are getting away, and I say, well, how is he? I look on the TV shows, we look on Facebook, and you say, how are all these guys catching all these big fish? But look at the difference in his gear. I'm guessing this didn't come out of a dumpster, did it, Poppy? All right, this is his go-to rod for catfishing, and it's got, number one, I don't know how to work this thing. I haven't spent the time investing in it. He's got poles that are so nice, he has to cover them with a sock. That probably costs more than my whole setup. He's got a tackle box full of everything you could ever want. His truck is like a Swiss Army knife on wheels. I had to throw that in there, sorry. But I throw that out there to tell you this. Are you investing in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Fathers, if we're going to be fishers of men, if we're going to teach our children to be fishers of men, we got to fill up our tackle box. We got to let God fill up our tackle box. We can't stay in this. I can't stay like this with this gear and expect Kip to invite me on his show and say, hey, come show us how to catch fish. Come show us how to be an avid outdoorsman. I can't expect to go to the lake and feed my family and be a profitable fisherman with this kind of gear, can I? Because I haven't spent the time investing in it. It's not important enough to me to say I'm going to make it a priority. My father-in-law made it a priority. I stole a couple things out of there. I need to confess that before we go any further. But I want to tell you this morning. God wants to fill your tackle box. Is it making sense this morning? God wants to fill us up. God wants to continue to grow us. Like we've been talking about in the book of James. God wants to grow us up this morning, dads. It's all on our shoulders. We are the leaders. We are the biblical, God-designed leaders of our family. And we gave honor. We talked about the mother's role. We're not taking away from mothers this morning. Today is a day we're focusing on the fathers. We have to question ourselves, Dad. Are we following Jesus? Or are we just out of priority? Are we just content with just old worn-out gear that's not bringing any fish? We're supposed to be out fishing for men. And guess where it starts? It starts in our home, fishing for our children. Fishing for our children is the priority first. And guess what? When we do that, then we got other fishermen raising up to go out and do the next generation, the next generation, the next generation. That's what my role as a father is supposed to do. All the other stuff, the ball field, even coming to church, all the other things fall in line after that. My first priority as your pastor is to raise my children in the ways of the Lord. And the same is with you, with your parent, with your kids. And so I just want to ask you this morning, we're going to close with this song, Family of God. Are you a family? Are you in the family of God? Scripture tells us, the Bible tells us, when we call on the name of Jesus, when we make Jesus the Lord of our life, we become the family, or in the family of God. We are His children. Can you say deep in your heart this morning that you are a child of God? Can you say that this morning? Have you ever made Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you ever asked Him to be the Lord of your life and forgive you of your sins? Your Heavenly Father wants you to go fishing with Him this morning. He wants you to go fishing with Him. A lot of people on Fisher's Day, on Father's Day, they're going to go fishing with their dad, or they're going to go hang out with him. God wants the same from us. He wants us to go fishing with Him this morning. And He wants to use us in a mighty way. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Doesn't matter what you're going to do tomorrow. God wants to use you. No matter what God is calling you this morning to. If you need prayer, maybe you want to join this family here at Fork Union Baptist. I don't know. Or maybe you want to come say, today I decided to follow Jesus. Whatever it is, come and be a part of the family of God as we sing. Amen? Hymn number 386. Let's stand and sing. Family of God.